Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Hey, welcome home. Welcome. Welcome to God's house, and it is His house, and we're His family. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, 19 and 20, it says, "You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are members together with His house." I'm sorry, I gotta just move these a little bit because they're just in the way of my seeing the screens, and I got to see the screens sometimes because I get caught up and I lose my track and I lose my way. And I can't see my notes anymore, so I'll just join the screens. Is that all right? All right, look at that. Come on. You are citizens with God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are His house. This is just a building. It really is. Honestly, it's just a place. I love big, beautiful churches and all those wonderful edifices. I would love to pastor someday the biggest, most beautiful church with stained glass, high steeples. I want my office in the steeple somewhere. I love all that stuff. But you know what? It's just mortars and stone. I mean, God dwells in a house that He's building, and it's blocks. It's living stones. It's us being built together, and God inhabits His people. And where His people gather, where they are, welcome home. That's God's house. And we are the family of God. So we talked about God the Father. We talked about Jesus. And now we're going to talk about Holy Ghost. Can you say Holy Ghost? I mean, I don't know how they got Holy Ghost out of pneuma, just breath, wind, and they turned it into Holy Ghost. And we've made all kinds of interesting doctrines just about that. But He's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He's not some angel or some vague influence. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the third person in the Godhead, in the Trinity. The Nicene Creed, we had a bunch of creeds. Our early church fathers, they had to establish what they really believed, and they used something called creeds. And the Nicene Creed says, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets." We believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. That had to be established early in Christianity, early with our church fathers. The Westminster Confession of Faith says the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. I was preaching early. At 26 years, I've pastored this church. Early on, I was preaching about Pentecost, preaching about the Holy Ghost, and we had a fellow who was actually a pastor, son in the church, and I talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, and he took me aside after and was, wanted to rebuke me that the Holy Ghost isn't a person. He's that influence that every once in a while, when we have a really good service, it's that influence you feel. Every once in a while, the Holy Ghost shows up. And I went, I took him our tenets, and I said, "You've been in this church for a long time. You agree with the tenets?" He said, "I do." I said, "The tenets of our faith says we believe in the Godhead and the persons therein." He went, "Oh, I had no idea." And a lot of people are limited in their understanding of Holy Spirit because they don't know who He is. I wonder, do you know Him? Westminster Confession, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, proceeding from the Father and the Son, of the same substance of and equal in power and glory, is together with the Father and the Son to be believed in, to be loved, to be obeyed and worshiped through all ages. Can I get an amen? Yeah, one time with a Sunday school class, they were taking some of the early creeds, and the kids were rehearsing them, and they were going to stand up, and each of them had a little line in the creed, and they all gathered to have a rehearsal and brought all the children up, and so the rehearsal began, and the one little child got up and said, "I believe in God the Father," and the other said, "I believe in the Son." And then there was a silence, and there was really quiet, and then they went, "What's going on? What happened there?" And then a little voice went, "The little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit's not here today." Sometimes that's like church. We don't know Holy Spirit, and yet He should be our closest friend. We can conceptualize Father. We have seen Jesus and written about the historical figure Jesus, but this Holy Spirit, the Ghost, the Holy Ghost, and yet He should be, because economically, the economic Trinity is Spirit, Spirit, Son, Father. What I mean by economically, I mean by in our experience, experientially for us, it's Spirit, Son, Father. It's by the Spirit through Jesus we have a relationship with the Father. I don't know what the rules are, but apparently only one of the Godhead can be earth on earth at once. I don't know what that is, but right now it's the Holy Spirit's turn. And it's the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. See, even when we say it's the Holy Spirit, it's like he's the thing, you know. But he's not. It's personal Holy Spirit. Like the Carl is preaching today. The D. Carl is here. It's an odd way to say something. But Holy Spirit is how you're experiencing God right now is by Holy Spirit, by breath, by wind, divine breath and divine wind. All right, you ready? How well do you know God? You ready? Here we go. Just kind of in your mind, circle 1 to 10, how well do you know God the Father? Just circle it in your mind. All right, now, Jesus, the Son, how well do you know the Son? Circle that in your mind. You ready? Holy Spirit, now circle somewhere in there. How well are you acquainted with Holy Spirit? Now, statistically, most people do incredibly poorly in their revelation of Holy Spirit. Sadly, many, many people, I was reading one pastor today, he was on 100 Huntley Street before, and he'd just written a book on the Holy Spirit, and David Maines asked him, he said, if you had to grade your church on, you know, their revelation of the Holy Spirit, their understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit, how would you grade them? And he blurted out C+. And David Maines was kind of taken back. I mean, my goodness, you just wrote a book on the Holy Spirit, and you said your whole church only knows him C+. You need to know Holy Spirit. And you need to know him thoroughly. You need to be completely acquainted with who he is and how he ministers with you and through you and what he is to your life. Can I get an amen? Now, how many, honestly, all eyes closed, heads bowed, you're circled a little lower on Holy Spirit than you did the others. Nobody's looking around. It's just you. Put up your hand and say, I circle a little lower on Holy Spirit. Okay, this church has an A+, apparently. Fantastic. Man, you got a good pastor. That's so awesome. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. It says, and he said unto them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, I always think, and I don't know about you, but when I read it, I get into the story. Don't you? When I read it, I want to smell the street. I want to imagine what the wall looked like. I want to smell the bread they were eating. I want to know how dusty was the road. I really want to get into the text. And I say, teacher, teach me. Bring me into this living word. Bring me into it. So I imagine when Paul got there and he met these group of believers, that when he's talking to them, he could see that there's something not quite right with these folks. I mean, they're believers and all, but he's looking around. He said, there's something not quite right with these folks. I mean, something missing. And he finally had to ask, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Because there's something just not quite right about these meetings here. And you know, they had to say, we have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes, folks, there's a lot of people who not only don't they know about how the Holy Ghost would work in their life, but they haven't got a clue about who he is. I wonder, do you know him? So we want to get to know him a little bit better, right? Because we're singing those songs, I want to be overwhelmed by your presence. That means you want the person of the Holy Spirit to really flood you and fill you and overwhelm your life. Kind of dangerous songs sometimes, aren't they? What happened if God really took us at our word? I want to be overcome by your presence. Not much, though, because you got to be somewhere at 12:30. Just don't overwhelm me so much because we got things to do. You know, but I want to be overcome by you. Ooh, your glory. Not a lot of glory, though, because we got stuff going on. Wow, we sing those things. I hope we don't just get accustomed to it. We say stuff we really don't mean. We're not really worshiping in spirit and in truth. We're just singing a nice song. What would happen if we all got whacked in the Holy Ghost? I mean, wow. Only you. It's funny the things that we sing. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite kind of theologians, Canadian pastor, pastored in Toronto for years and years. But A.W. Tozer, he said, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Isn't that interesting? If I really want to know, you know, the most important thing about you, I'll ask you a question. What do you think about God? That's what Tozer said. Tozer also said, the idea of the Spirit held by the average church member, not apparently this church, but the average church member is so vague as to be nearly non-existent. So we want to have a great revelation of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's in the Authorized, the King James Version. Now that word is pneuma in the Greek, pneuma. And the word just literally means breath or wind. They would use it in everyday life and everyday language to say, wow, it's pneuma today. It's just really windy today. I mean, they would use it every day. And yet God, when he wanted to manifest that third person of the Godhead, he said wind. He's the breath. He's the divine wind. He's the divine. There was a violent wind came out of heaven, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Tongues of fire on every single one. The pneuma, the breath of God. In the Old Testament, beginning right at Genesis 1, verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of God, that's the ruach. You have to be careful how you say that, because you might have to have a spit bucket beside you. So, ruach. The wind, the breath, the wind, the breath. Now, I've said this to you before, but sometimes I think it would have been easier if the Holy Spirit was named Fred. I get Fred. I know a Fred. I could probably, you know, get acquainted with a Fred, but Holy Spirit sometimes has created a bit of an obstacle. Even breath, wind, who can put handles on that? I love in John 3 when it says the wind blows where it wants. You don't know where it comes from, you don't know where it's going, and you can't see it. So here's the Holy Ghost. You can't see him, he's unpredictable, he's powerful, you don't know where he's coming from or where he's going, but that's the breath of God. Like, you want a relationship with that fella. And that's the breath of God. That's the wind of God. But you know what? I want a relationship with him because I trust his nature. I trust his character. And I trust that wherever his wind is going to blow in my life, it's good. Am I seeing a vision, or there's people still in the room? Amen. All right. That was good. I know. All right. Breath. Catherine Kuhlman, her very favorite verse. Catherine Kuhlman. I had the privilege of, when I was 9 years old, my parents were part of a group that brought Catherine Kuhlman to Peterborough. And so I had a very close up and intimate experience with her ministry. My brothers, twin brothers, they were actually runners. Back then, they couldn't text back and forth and stuff. So my brothers, they were twin brothers. Did I say that? They're about 13, 14, I was somewhere around there. But they were used to run back and forth from the platform to other places. So they were just runners for if they needed anything or somebody had to be communicated with. My brothers were just, they would be running all over the place, just running, you know, taking notes and things. So we were intimately involved with that crusade. And so I watched Catherine Kuhlman. I always was amazed that when, like, God is just one syllable, God. But with Catherine Kuhlman, God was about 17 syllables. It was God. And she stuck out her fingers. They seemed to extend into the infinity. Just God. But she was, wow, something else. And as even as a child, 9 years old, I was listening to the sermon, and I'd heard my dad preach. I grew up in church. My granddad a preacher, my dad a preacher. And so I listened to a lot of preaching, but I listened to her preach, and I thought it was interesting. She preached the same sermon every night. And I said, you'd think she'd change it up, because some of us were here last night. But she didn't really care. She was just preaching. She would preach about the Holy Spirit, her best friend. And she'd talk about him, and then all of a sudden she'd go, he's here. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, people start popping out of wheelchairs, popping out of things. And I'm just, as a kid, I was like, whoa. We had a lady in our church, Barbara Parks, had a heart condition and had a hole in her heart and a missing valve, and they'd done surgery. But she wasn't expected to live. She'd already outlived her expectation well beyond. And her husband used to go with my parents. They did a coffee house, and they thought what would be good would be to leave me with her when they went to the coffee house, and she could kind of take care of me. She couldn't take care of me. Literally, I would sit in a room. She'd be sitting. We'd have the TV on, and I could just hear her going. There's times I'm going like, in Jesus' name, breathe. Oh, my God. I'm going to die. I'm right here. Lord Jesus. And then the house scared me because every time I used the toilet, it overflowed. So it was, you know, I can remember one time holding the toilet down, go, no, no. And it was just every time I had to go there, it was like, no, please, no, I'll stay by myself. And it was just painful stuff. So, I mean, I was very intimately acquainted with her and her issues in life. And she was in the choir with my mom, and my mom was helping her. And mom said one night, Catherine Kuhlman just turned her hand around and just turned, in the choir. There's someone here in the choir. And the Lord is touching your heart right now. And my mom said every time she waved, my mom felt she was getting knocked unconscious. It was just like, whoa. But Barbara, you know, thought it must be somebody else. And mom's going, Barbara, who else has got a bad heart condition? And finally says, it's someone right here, and pointed pretty much right at her. Barbara, could be me, given a brand new heart. Yeah. Brand new heart. She's, you know, she's in her 80s today. She's moved to Wales to be with one of her daughters. She still travels all over the place. And every time I see her, you look awesome. But I remember when you got that new heart. So that heart's probably only about 40, you know. So, But you know, they had x-rays later that showed it really was a brand new heart. Something that did not exist before existed now, and it completely transformed her life. So, I mean, I saw lots of miracles that time. I saw people that we knew, children who were paralyzed that we'd carried up and down the stairs at school, totally set free, come back to school on Monday. Wow. I mean, just like crazy stuff. And you know what? That's normal. That's normal. That's the way things should be. So, you know, but anyway, I say that because her favorite verse. That's why I was talking about her. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And she's so focused on the koinonia, the communion. May the communion of Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Here's that verse in the message paraphrase. It says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of Holy Spirit be with you all. Is he your intimate friend? Is he your closest friend? My wife's really a close friend to me. I mean, I love my wife. I'm so grateful for my wife. But you know, Holy Spirit really is the most important person in my life. And he should be way closer to me than even my wife is, and way more intimate than even my wife is. Do you know him? Do you have that kind of intimate fellowship with him? Is the Holy Spirit your best friend? Let's go to John 16. I'm going to read a few verses. You ready? John 16, 7 to 15. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. So the helper could not come if Jesus didn't go away. See, Jesus had to go. He had to experience the cross. He had to be buried. He had to be raised from the dead. He had to shed his blood, because without the blood, you couldn't experience forgiveness of sins. Also, without the blood, you couldn't be cleansed and purified so that you would become a place suitable for the Spirit of God to dwell in. So Jesus had to go. He had to go through what he did. He had to do all he did so that the Holy Spirit could get on us. And as John the Baptist said, his purpose is to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the whole purpose of the ministry of Jesus. To get a group of people baptized in the Holy Ghost of fire so that there could be earth containers so reunited in their fellowship with the Father that they could be flooded with the Spirit of God and be living, walking, breathing tabernacles of who he is. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor, say, cheer up. Throw the pastor a bone, say amen. Amen. If I depart, I will send him to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still got a lot of things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whenever he speaks and whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what was mine and declare it to you. All things that are of the Father's are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. You ready? Number one, he's a person. Say he's a person. What constitutes a person? I looked it up. A person is a living being, a composite of characteristics that make up an individual. A personality, the self. That's what a person is. Personality. What's a personality then? The personality is the pattern of collective character, behavior, temperamental emotions, and mental traits of a person or a living soul. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that God had a soul? Father has a soul, Son has a soul, Holy Ghost has a soul. He does? Yeah. The Father actually said, my soul will not be pleased. Jesus said, my soul is vexed, my soul is troubled. The Holy Spirit has that whole aspect where a living soul has mind, will, and emotions. A living soul can think, desire, and feel. A real person. The Holy Ghost is a real person. He thinks, he desires, and he feels things. Now, I just wanted to dispel a little bit of something. You know, just because he feels something doesn't mean that he's easily offended. Doesn't mean that he's fickle. Doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost is moody. Oh, don't tick him off. He's like a dove, you know, flutter, flutter. He'll take off quick if you just, any scent of, you know, anything wrong in your life, and flutter, 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 he'll take away. He isn't a dove. He's not even like a dove. He descended like a dove, but he has no other traits of a dove. The only thing he has of a dove is it looked like the Holy Ghost fell on him and it looked like a dove did it. But he doesn't have any other traits of a dove. Like, it's not like, oh, Holy Spirit, I know you're sensitive, and I've taken a sensitivity course because I want to be careful I don't offend you. He's not frail. He's not fragile. Like God the Father, God the Son, listen to me, the Holy Spirit is just like him. He's just like, he's co-essential, co-equal. He's completely like the Father and the Son. Believe me, Jesus isn't frail. He doesn't run away when you make a mess. He runs into your mess. And if God is going to run into your mess, listen to me, the only way he's going to do it right now is by the Spirit of God. So if you're in a mess and you need God to come in, it's the Spirit of God that will come. He's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of your failures. He's not afraid of your goof-ups. Well, I got to straighten up so I can get some Holy Ghost. Thank God the Holy Ghost comes to straighten you up. Thank God the Holy Ghost comes when you're a mess. It's the Holy Ghost who comes actually when you're a sinner, when you're full of junk. It's the Holy Spirit that comes to you in that situation and makes you alive. It's the Holy Spirit that allows you and enlightens you to even know that you have a Savior. Imagine I can't cry out for a Savior because I'm a miserable mess, and the Holy Spirit won't come to me because I'm such a dog. So I need to get cleaned up so I can have the Holy Spirit just reveal to me that I have a Savior. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. You can't even get a revelation of the goodness of God without the Holy Spirit. He's not fragile. He's powerful. He's mighty. And he's running into your situation every day. Amen. They are here, Brian. They are. I knew they were. All right, some of his personality traits already. The omnis of God. He's omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. That means he's got to think, right? Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. What does that mean? He's exerting his will. He exerts his influence. He's omnipresent. What is that? I can feel him. I can experience him. I can know the joy. I can actually know when he's disappointed. I can even know when I've disappointed him. But he doesn't go, "You disappointed me. I'm not hanging out with you anymore. If you get that straight, I'll come back." Like, sometimes we preach, it sounds like the Holy Spirit's some moody, finicky, you know, my goodness, you know. Quiet now. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit. All sin must leave the room. All sin leaves the room by applying the blood. The blood. If I could have got rid of my own sin, Jesus didn't need to die for me. But when you apply the blood, the Spirit comes forcefully and powerfully. Hello? Hello? Well, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, Pastor, and he didn't come until they got themselves all in one accord and in one place in total agreement. That's bunk. Say bunk. He came because it was 10 days after the ascension. He came because it was the day of Pentecost. He came because that was what the calendar said, and he came there because Jesus said, go wait until the Holy Ghost comes, and he came there because they did what Jesus had told them to do. They could have that morning had a petty argument over who's washing feet today. They could have that morning had a petty argument over, you know, he ate too many flatbreads. I mean, there's none left for the rest of us. We're hanging out here all day, and Peter had 4 flatbreads this morning for breakfast. They were in one place. They were there. They were in one accord. What were they in one accord with? They're in one accord with, this is where Jesus told us to be. They're in one accord with the revelation that Jesus gave them. If he wanted them to be in one place and be sitting and for 24/7 crying out to God, he would have given them that direction. But he said, stay there. Wait, 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 wait for the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. He didn't come on the 49th day. He didn't come on the 51st day. He came on the 50th day. Because God's into timetables. He really is. He's a stickler for 70 years, 400 years, 40 years, 3 days. And that's the way it was. Amen? Okay, thank you. Thank you. We got that over. Just had to get that off my chest. Okay, his work. Let's talk about his work. Here's his work. It says Job 26:13, by his Spirit he adorned the heavens. I mean, the Holy Spirit is he's the active one in the Godhead. The Father desires it. Jesus speaks it, and the Spirit gets it done. The Father has passions, desires. The Word declares that. The Holy Spirit gets her done. It's good. 2 Timothy 3:15, all Scripture is God breathed. It's breathed. It's all Scripture is given by mouth to mouth. Say mouth to mouth. That's how it happens. Faye had some mouth to mouth. She had God come. I love that. When Psalm says, how I love the kisses of his mouth. Has he kissed you recently? When you get into his word and you get into that intimate communion with him, you're having mouth to mouth with the breath of God. 2 Peter 1:21, holy men, they spoke, God spoke as they were. They were moved along by the breath of God. By the breath of God, the scripture was written and was done. That's just a couple of things that he did. Here's his work in Jesus. And this is just a little overview. Matthew 1:20, it literally says he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who caused the divine son to be conceived in the womb of Mary. It's the Holy Spirit did that. Matthew 1:20, Matthew 4:1. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Jesus, being a man, but every bit God, every bit divine, Jesus, the man, submitted to the leadership of Holy Spirit. John 3:34, he comes out, he says, I am anointed by the Spirit of God. I am anointed by the Spirit of God. Matthew or Luke chapter 4 talks about being led by, controlled by, anointed by the Spirit of God. Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed, smeared with the Holy Ghost and power, and therefore he went around doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus for all of his ministry. Hebrews 9:14 talks about the fact that in the passion and through the crucifixion, it says Jesus went to the cross by the Spirit. It was by the Spirit of God, even he was enabled to fulfill the passion. And we can go through whatever we have to go through because the Holy Spirit's with us. And then the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It was the Spirit of God. That's just a few things. That's just a few little things. And I couldn't read all the passages for you because I don't have time, but they're all on the website, so you can go look at them later and find even more. Here's his work in us. He calls us. Acts 13:2 says it is God. It's the Spirit who calls us. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is and he's received as Lord, there's liberty. There's emancipation from every form of bondage. It's the Spirit of God that frees us from every bondage and every limitation. Any boundaries, any limitations, any mountains in your way, where the Spirit of the Lord is, and it should say, and he is received as Lord, there is freedom, emancipation from every form of bond. He transforms us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's the Spirit of God. It's not now you got saved, now you better work on yourself. That's we start staring at her belly button. Now I got saved by grace, but now I'm going to clean myself up. Good luck with that. He transforms us. Acts 4:31, he fills us. Acts 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Not be filled once, but keep on being filled. It's a passive present imperative that it's something you have to receive. It's not something, go get yourself filled. It doesn't mean that. It means open yourself up to the filling of God. Open your heart, receive. Press wide open, say, fill me. It's not something you pursue. It's something you passionately receive every moment of the day. Smile at your neighbor. Tell him you're okay. He fills us. He empowers us. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. Power. Dunamis. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Power. Power. I mean, I love it in Acts where he's telling them, you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Wow, that's really awesome. Okay. Wow, you're going to send power, dunamis on us. Good. So tell me, how is it all going to work out at the end? Like, how is it going to happen now? Give me some of the details. I want to write some charts and graphs about the second coming and everything. And here's what he said. It's not for you to know, but you shall receive power. No, we want to know the details. We want all knowledge of how all the details work out. Jesus said, it's not for you to know. He's like, man, I'm telling you, you need power, and I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, well, that's awesome. Now, what about how this works and that works? And what about this? And what about the fourth veil, the 25th cup? When is that going to be poured out? And then the horseman, boom, boom, boom. How's that going to... You don't need to know that. I'm going to give you power. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power to do all you've called us to do. But we want to know. And still today, we got the whole church wanting to fill their charts and their graphs and their nonsense. And here's all you need. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He shall empower you. And then Acts 9:31, he comforts us. I had a list of 50, but I broke it down to just a few. But there's so much. I mean, you can't do a lick of goodness in the kingdom without being led by and submitted to the Holy Ghost. Do you know him? Do you know him? Look, I'm wrapping up really fast. Can I get an amen? Can I get a thank you, Jesus? I went, now look at his work defined by Jesus. Here it is. We're wrapping up right here. His work defined by Jesus in John 16, 17 to 15 says, "If when I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict, he will reprove, he will completely illuminate, he will completely educate the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll disclose everything. He'll fulfill all of these things. He'll unpack everything necessary in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment." You ready? Sin. What do we need to know about sin? It's evil, and you need to get it out of your life. And if you have a little bit, just a little in your life, the Holy Spirit will leave you. He will run away from you. So work harder, little brother, little sister. I've heard it, lots of it. People running around striving to try to get what's a gift. "I will send to you the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father." So let's look at sin. Here's what it says. What it says about sin. Look at that. Here you go. You see? Of sin. So he defined it for us. He didn't leave it wide open. He defined it. "I'm going to deal with sin because they do not believe in me." So what's the deal with sin? What is the deal with sin? Has anybody got sin in their life right now? Come to the altar and weep, you wretched thing, and maybe God will visit you. No, here's sin. Here's the problem with sin. Here it is. Jesus is the cure to sin. That's what Jesus taught. The Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to show the whole world. He's going to convince the whole world that the cure to sin, the cure to whatever is keeping you from full revelation of the Father and walking in fellowship with him, the cure to dealing with your inadequacy is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the cure to sin. That's so awesome. Romans 5:15. "But even greater is God's wonderful grace, his gift of forgiveness that to many through this other man, Jesus Christ." It's the gift of forgiveness. It's that you are forgiven. Everything necessary for you to be forgiven, it's already done. You just got to say, "That's really good news. I think I'll believe that." Amen. Jesus is the cure to sin. Here's another thing. Jesus defining the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Jesus defined it. God the Son defined the one who he's sending. All right? Then here's the next thing. You ready? John 16:10. "Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more." Well, how does that define righteousness? It means when Jesus goes to the Father, he's finished. And if the Father receives him and he sits down, the Father says, "Good job, son. Awesome. High five. Slap the Holy Ghost. Boom, you're in." If the Holy Spirit came, that means Jesus did it right. He fulfilled all righteousness. Righteousness is fulfilled. And now we have the righteousness of God because he who had no sin became sin for us that we might become, or we might be made is a better translation, that we might be made the righteousness of God. See, because you could become righteous, right? Well, you could become righteous. God made it possible for you to become righteous. No, he became sin so that we could be made righteous. How righteous? The righteousness of God. Oh, now it makes sense. Be holy as I am holy. That's not something that resists me. It's a promise. It's not a command that I've got to strive for. It's a promise that I received because he said, "Be holy as I am holy." And then he gave me the gift of his righteousness so that I can be in absolute intimate fellowship with him because his holiness is right here in me, is his holiness. And together I can have absolute union with God because it cannot be unequally yoked. But I'm in absolute union with God because he dealt with my sin and he did it right. Therefore, I am right. Here's the last thing he said. He said, "And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." What's that, Pastor? Satan is defeated. I dealt with your condition. I did everything you need to be right with the Father. And I've dealt with every enemy of your soul. That's how Jesus defined what the Holy Spirit's going to do for you. Jesus, the Son of God, defined what he, Holy Spirit, will do for you in just those three things. Isn't he great? Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him. Destroy him. Say destroy. Destroy him who had power of death. That is the devil. He is defeated. Isn't that awesome? That is so good. So I'm going to give you some good news. You ready? Let me recap it for you. Jesus is the only cure to sin. He declares you righteous, and your accuser is destroyed. Settle down. Don't rush me. It's easy. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I thought I was going to get stampeded right there. Good news. Free ice cream for everyone. Wow, that got a better cheer than Jesus. You folks are so tied to your flesh. Oh my goodness. Good news. Jesus is the only cure to sin. Done. What do you say about Jesus? I say he did it all. I say he's forgiven me all my sin. Even the one you're going to commit this afternoon, you know it. You're thinking about it. Don't do it. He's not going to run away from you. He won't. He'll still be there. You'll still be in intimate communion. But he is going to be grieved. Doesn't mean he's going to run away. It's just his feelings will be hurt, but he'll still be full on for you. He'll never change his opinion of you. But why would you constantly grieve someone you love? Do you got a revelation of your best friend? Like, I wouldn't like, should I sleep with my neighbor's wife or shouldn't I? Well, I do love Cheryl, and I really enjoy her communion, her fellowship. She might get a little ticked off with that, but she'll get over it. And I do love my, you know, my neighbor's husband. I know he'd be upset with it too. He'll get over it though. They're Christians. Well, why would you do something stupid like that? You don't have a revelation of you know, people, of love, of community. Do you know him? You know, when you really know him, like really literally, when I got to know Cheryl, she made me want to be a better man. Is that something in a movie? I don't know. You know, when you really know him, when you really know him and you're intimate with him and you're walking with him, the things of earth grow strangely dim. You don't even have to focus on that. Don't stare at your sin, stare at him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, because he's done it all. Oh, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Come on, stand up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Can I just get you all to just bow your heads, close your eyes for me? Just everyone, bow your head, close your eyes. Just want to ask you, listen, maybe you're here today, you came, you're invited by someone, and you're here at our open house. Maybe you don't know Jesus like that, but listen, the Holy Spirit is right now, that person of the Godhead is working on your heart. He's touching you. And he's saying, I want you to be intimate with me. I want you to be a part of my family. Not a part of this church, not even a part of this community, but a part of his family, his community. And you do that by just saying, I heard the good news and I receive it. I agree with that. See, repentance is, I heard something wonderful and I'm now going to align myself with the new facts. Those new facts are really good, so I'm going to agree with them, I'm going to embrace them, and I'm going to take that into my life. Now listen, if you're here today and you say, well, that's me. I agree with what you said. What you said just made a lot of sense to me. And I can feel the Holy Spirit touching my life. I want to be a part of his family. I want to be in a great relationship with God. Well, you can do that right now. It says, believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. So it says, you believe with your heart unto righteousness, you confess with your mouth unto salvation. So there's that whole thing where you say, you know, I believe that in my heart, but now I just want you to say that. With your mouth, I want you to agree with heaven. I want you to agree with his word, all right? So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray. All of us are going to pray together. But if that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Now, nobody's looking around. It's just you. It's just you and God. He's the only one looking at your heart, and he loves you. He really does. But if you want to do that, if you want to pray and say, I want to receive him, I want to confess him as my Lord, then would you please, I'm going to count to three and put your hand up, okay? Are you ready? One, two, three. Throw up your hand right now. Throw it up really high so I can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Lift it up so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just lift it up really high so I can see it. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down now. That was great. We're all going to pray. You're going to pray. I want you to hear your voice. Everyone around you is praying as well. You ready? Say, Lord Jesus, that's some good news. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for setting me free. I believe the message. You're my Lord and my Savior. I take you into my life right now. I receive you right now. So Holy Spirit, come. Baptize me into the body of Christ. I confess that I'm forgiven. I confess that I'm healed. I confess that I'm free. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, that was some good. God bless you. Welcome to the family of God. That was really good. Now, you know, before you go, somebody may seek you out, but you could seek somebody out. We just want to give you a form because I don't want there just to be decision makers. We want to help you with the journey that you just started. It's an awesome journey, and we want to have you fully informed as to how good God is. So we want you to fully embrace that, okay? Now, I want the folks that are praying, ministering at the altar today to come forward. Everyone who's on the prayer team, could you just come right now and just stand down the front here? There's always people here to pray for you. Every Sunday, there's someone here to minister to you, to pray for you and minister. So I know some of you have to leave and have to go. There's Mother's Day things going on. But please, we also have a reception next door. And if you've brought guests with you, if you could go next door, we'd love to meet you and talk with you. And we just think it's so amazing that you could be anywhere today and you chose to come and fellowship with us. And we just want to thank you for taking that time. So, but if you need prayer for anything, there's ministry here for you. There's ministry available. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless the food next door. And make sure you call your mom. And if your mom has already gone to be to glory, look up and say, you are awesome, Mom. Thanks for you. But call and make sure you do it because it's a good day to be grateful. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your intimate communion. Thank you that you are so close to me. And thank you that you will never, never, never leave me or forsake me. Thank you that you're so committed to me. Thank you that you're not finicky or frail or you're not moody, but you're a God who's absolutely committed to me. And I love you. I love you, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, just be upon each one. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your intimate partnership every moment of my day. I commission these folks. I bless them to go in your name and to release your goodness in the earth. So thank you for it. In Jesus' name, bless the food. Bless our fellowship together. And we thank you for it all and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, God bless you. The sun is shining. There's food next door. Come on up here and get some prayer. Come get some ministry.